I want to take a truth that is perhaps best stated in 1 Corinthians, and then turn you to the Galatian epistle for its outwork. And in the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, in the second chapter, we read this. In the second verse, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now then, beloved, it's on the great truth of Christ crucified that I want to talk. Not just objectively, that we may come and gaze at the cross and stand there at Calvary. And I stood up when we sang the hymn, "By the Cross of Jesus Standing." But not just that objectively, but at this great truth as it should be in all our lives. If you look back, you will find that the crucifixion is always unto. Let's put it this way. In the first chapter, we're eliciting the truth, and we'll go to Galatians in a moment or two. Let's get the fundamental principle and see how it works. In chapter 1, then, verse 23, we preach Christ crucified unto. Do you see that? We preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, unto the Greeks, and unto them which are called, verse 24. That's right. And Christ crucified unto is power to make the Jews stumble. And the Greeks think him a fool. But the saints, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now this is the tremendous thing. And here is something, beloved, that you and I must understand and understand perfectly. That an uncrucified Christ, as wonderful as he is in all the manifestation of himself in a manger and in his earthly life, and oh, how we love to hear sermons in our circles on the anointed Christ, you know, going about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil, and so on and so on. But I want to tell you that he would have been about the most powerless Christ. He would have been completely ineffective to us if he had not been the crucified Christ. And today, he is the crucified Christ. What a glorious thing it is. Look, verse 17. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, beloved, you and I must understand that the cross was made very effectual to Christ. Without the cross, Jesus of Christ would have been of none effect whatsoever. He would have been just another good man, and he would have died a normal death sort of thing, and we'd never have heard of him much, no more than we'd heard of other good men perhaps that have lived and died. It's by the cross, beloved. It's the crucified Christ that is the effectual Christ. Do you see that? And he's always crucified unto. Praise the name of the Lord. Now let's go to the Galatian letter, shall we? And in the Galatian letter, let us follow this truth through. We know that, or I presume that we know, that this Galatian letter is a wonderful letter concerning the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, just to catch our thought in the last chapter, verse 14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I am crucified unto the world. There is that which the cross brings to death. There is that which the cross brings most powerfully to life. You see, you say, well, what's the use of you see this great preposition unto is there again, unto the world, it's there. You say, well, what is the use of if I'm crucified unto the world, I'm just dead, I can't do anything. No, no, no. Because Paul was crucified unto the world, he brought to bear upon the world, and who among us is going to deny it, and who wants to, all the tremendous power and grace and glory and love of God, because he was crucified unto the world. There is no way of bringing the fullness and power and love of God unto anybody unless we're crucified unto them. And that may explain why we're so ineffective. Not because we haven't had some experience called the baptism in the Spirit, but because we're not crucified unto people. It was when Jesus was taken to that cross, it was when the nails were driven through him, when he was crucified, and this goes beyond his blood, for mark you, his blood flowed quite a while before he was crucified. That's true. It flowed in the whipping post. It flowed when they crushed the crown of thorns on his head. It isn't just the blood of Christ. Now always bear that in mind. It's the crucifixion of the Christ. Amen. We cannot make too much of the blood. Let us not make more of the blood than we do of the crucifixion. It is because he was crucified unto me. Many a man was whipped and his blood flowed, and yet he wasn't crucified. Paul said five times of the Jews he received, that's right, his blood flowed. 40 stripes save one, his blood flowed. But he was never crucified in the flesh. What a tremendous thing it is, beloved, to be crucified by the power of God unto men and women. And listen, unless we're in this state, we can never be effective. But this epistle, as I say, we've introduced ourselves to it, we'll come back to this thing in a moment or two. This epistle brings out far, far more than that. Let's look in the fifth chapter, shall we? It's a good way, isn't it, to go backwards. I often do that. sometimes, especially when we sung Charles Wesley, I said we'll start at the last verse and sing through to the first. It'll do you good sometimes to do that. You follow from the developed theme and go back to the C from which you start, and it's a good thing sometimes to go that way. And you understand. And in this great fifth chapter, you have the same glorious truth. Because, beloved, in verse 24, because I am Christ's, I have crucified the flesh with the affections of love and lust. And now listen, test yourself whether you're Christ's or not. Everyone that is Christ's has done this. Doesn't say they're trying to do it. Doesn't say they're praying to do it. Doesn't say they're weeping to do it, hoping to do it. He says they've done it. You can't be Christ's until you have. You don't become Christ in order to get some help to do it. You're enabled to do it, and then you're really Christ's. That's what my book says. Oh, isn't it so opposite stuff that's preached these days? This true Bible of ours. It's so really true. People can't stomach it, so they have to alter it. They have to make it fit into their ideas. Call it helping one another to understand, or something like that. But understand error, beloved, and live there, and you know where you'll finish. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now then, this follows on a marvelous passage. Here's the passage, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law anywhere in heaven or earth. Neither divine, nor Mosaic, nor I don't know what. There isn't any law anywhere against these. All real law, that is the function, the basic function of the being of God, is to produce this fruit. Not against it. Can't be against it. There's no law anywhere against me loving and being all peaceful and joyful. No law anywhere. In fact, I tell you that the sum of all the law of the being of God by the Spirit is to produce this fruit. But listen, I am crucified unto it. I can't have it until I'm crucified. That's the effect. I have crucified the flesh. It says, and they that are crucified the flesh, they that are Christ, you see, they crucified the flesh, and hallelujah, look at what I have. I'm crucified under this in my personal experience. What a tremendous thing this is. And look, beloved, when I'm crucified under this fruit, you look what's happened. The works of the flesh in verse 19, which are manifest, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. They've all gone. They've gone. Gone. In the fruit of the glorious Spirit. The Spirit, beloved, has come to bring me all the fruitage of that wonderful life who was impaled on the cross. Bring it to me. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I live on a rich diet. I have it all the time too, never without this fruit. Never. Everywhere I go, I've got a spirit full of it. Glory. This is the truth.
But you see, I'm crucified unto this.
You can't have this without the cross. And when you're crucified, all those things that are listed above, that's the old you that used to be, these are the things in which you used to live, if not in actual doing of them, quite in potential, and not an imagination and thought in your mind or heart. That's what God was getting rid of on the cross. That's what he was getting rid of. He wasn't just getting rid of hell for me. He was getting rid of that which deserves to go to hell. Amen. You see, it's the same truth. We're back with Wesley. Hallelujah. This is why I sing him. This is why I love him. He's the poet of my heart and my experience. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Take away, gone away the love of sin is sinning. It's gone, you see, perfectly restored in thee. This is it. Glory. This is restored to the same state that Jesus was in. Love and joy and peace, long suffering and gentleness and goodness. That's it. That's it. This is all that he means by Christian perfection that I seek to preach by God's grace, and often get accused of preaching sinless perfection by people who don't know how to distinguish between the things that differ. But this is the glory of it, beloved, that we can walk in this wonderful life and this precious fruitage of the Spirit, but I've got to be crucified unto it. He doesn't come by some sort of pipe dream. He doesn't come by some intoxication of a wonderful meeting. It comes, beloved, as I know the power of Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful? Because you see, Jesus Christ is crucified unto me. Crucified unto me. This is the wonderful, wonderful truth, beloved. Here the seat, sister, come and sit here. Move your long legs, please. That's right. You're right under my nose. Here's a Bible for you. Galatians. It's a bit different from the one you usually use, but never mind, you'll get used to it. And so we see this great power and wonder of God. But we're not finished there. Really, we're only on the brink of this great truth. And I go back to Galatians 2. And in Galatians 2, I read this in verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You see, I am crucified unto myself. I'm not just crucified unto the world, and I'm not just crucified unto fleshly sins. That is dead to the world in that sense that I may be powerful in it in a moment. We'll come and look at this a little clearer, I hope. And not just dead to fleshly sins and lusts, but dead to myself. All my natural self, life, and ambitions, and all those sort of things, these are the things, beloved. And you see, if you read on in that verse, you will find that this is the way that Paul discovered the great love of Christ. There was a time when he heard about it, heard about the cross. Who hadn't heard of Jesus Christ in those days? Bless the name of the Lord. Everybody heard of Jesus Christ in those days. He'd heard of him. He was a contemporary of the Lord Jesus Christ. He kept the clothes of them that stoned Stephen to death. He knew all about it, he said to He said to a gripper, he said, this thing wasn't done in a corner. That's right. Hallelujah. They'd all heard about it. But in order to know the love of Christ so that he could talk about Jesus, he loved me and gave himself for me. If you want to be in that wonderful love, you've got to be crucified into it. You understand that?
People say to me, oh, I wish I could sort of love the Lord like you do.
Well, I've been crucified into it. There ain't any way into it. There ain't any other way into it. I tell you, when you're really crucified into it, beloved, there's no going back. The only way is on, that's resurrection. There's no going back. Not when you've been crucified into this love, when you've been released into it. For crucifixion was the release of God. The release of his power. The release of Jesus Christ's Spirit only came when he was crucified. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Finished. Glory. You see, beloved, it's all over. Done. You've got to be crucified into this. And if you've had some baptism in the Spirit that hasn't baptized into this, you into this, beloved, you've missed the point and power of the baptism in the Spirit. For when God baptized me in the Spirit, he baptized me through this crucifixion. It's right. I must testify to you the truth. Amen. Glory be to his wonderful name. Release and into the love, oh, the Son of God who loved me. To Paul, Jesus Christ was renowned for one thing, and that is love. Oh, yes. You see, you want Jesus Christ to wrap his arms round you, don't you? But I want to tell you, if you want to know this great reality of the infolding arms and love of Christ, you've got to be crucified. He wraps himself round crucified people. He goes and finds sheep and all that. He goes and gets sinners in and all that. That's wonderful, he does. But oh, if you want to know his love, look, he's crucified like I am. That's it. That's the truth. You can pine for this love of God and die without it in its realest sense, unless he's able to put his arms around you and see the same plain marks of his own crucifixion in you. Death's identity with Jesus Christ. That's sonship. That's the honor. That's the crowning glory. Why, I would fall in the empty. Don't let anybody trouble me. I bear in my body the mark of the Lord Jesus. And very few of us will ever attain to that honor, I fear. You see, you've got to be crucified into this love. Oh, you say, but it was love, surely, that made the cross available to me. Exactly. Wonderful to be loved like this. When we didn't deserve it. When we were afar off. But you know, beloved, we're made worthy by his grace. He's made us worthy, hasn't he? This is it. I'm not forever to be by bemoaning my unworthiness, because I'm forever trying to pull myself up out of my own pit by my own shoestrings. A quite impossible task. But to be able to say, he set me on a rock. Glory. Yeah. Lord, I know there's always a sense in which we feel keenly our absolute indebtedness to Jesus. But glory, there is a place where his love comes and restores us. Amen. If you want to know this love, beloved, it's beyond self. To the cross, you must be crucified. If you want to know this love, I ask you, if you want to volunteer for this love, will you volunteer for the cross? Will you volunteer to go out? Will you volunteer to be seen and known no more? As you were, but only known after the Spirit. And when you are known after the Spirit in this great realm, you are known as love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and meekness and sweetness. Another Christ. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. Glory. They've done it deliberately. They've set themselves to do it. Hallelujah. Gone. Gone. You see, beloved, we elicited this principle, you will remember, from 1 Corinthians. And the tragedy with the Corinthian church was exactly this, that they used the gifts to blow up their own ego, to draw attention to themselves. That's why, beloved, the gifts ceased to have power among them. This is the tragedy. You've got to be crucified. I want to say something again, which I probably have said here before. I wonder you keep coming, some of you. I only say the same old things over and over and over again. And it's this. It's this. That the old man has played havoc with the gifts. That's the tragedy in modern Pentecost. The old man has played havoc with the gifts. Uncrucified self. This is what's bringing discredit upon them. This is absolutely true. Oh, to be crucified. Hallelujah. Paul says, well, I am. How about that? Surely, that's boastful, if you like. That's what he said. God forbid that I should boast, saving in the cross. That's the right kind of boasting. Mm-hmm. But if you stand up in the meeting and trump up and say, I'm crucified, I'm crucified, everybody will know you're not. Don't get on the wrong leg about that, will you? Let's have some fresh air, please. Will you? So that nobody else goes to sleep. That's right, brother. Good boy. That's the way. And we're to be crucified. Never. You see, beloved, crucifixion is the way into power. Now, I don't mean just power to perform miracles, though there's that about it. I mean power in strength, power for self. That is, me in my flesh. In my body, in my needs. Crucifixion is the way in. Hallelujah. Wonderful, beloved, when God just does these glorious things. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, no longer I. Isn't that wonderful to be able to live, no longer I? And not even a shorter eye either. But Christ lives in me.
and the life I now live in the flesh. In other words, you can all see it. It's not a life that runs out, say, even into the less gross sins of chapter 5 that we were looking at. I mean, adultery and fornication and lasciviousness and uncleanness and idolatry. But take, say, hatred and variance and emulation. You meet these people, they're always at variance. You can say something, they always want to argue with you. Or take, they swing to the extreme opposite, emulation. They want to be like you. That's emulation. They want to be as good as you are, or else they don't want to be like you are. These sort of extremes of people. You get like that, don't you? You say, oh, well, that's the way I feel inside. That sin, friend. It's a fleshly sin. It's a flesh. You're not dead yet. You say, oh, well, I don't want to be like anybody. No, you're not dead either. So don't run to that extreme. It's still the flesh. But Paul says, be as I am, in this same letter. You say, what? Did he say, be as I am? That's exactly what he said. As we often say, we didn't write this Bible, but we're here to believe it. And he says, brethren, I beseech you, in the 4th chapter of verse 12, be as I am, for I am as you are. Hallelujah. Glory. That's right. Wonderful. You see? And he says, and it's a very, very glorious thing to see that he says it. Brethren, you're called unto liberty. You see, Christ living in me. Of course you must have liberty. Christ must have complete liberty to do what he wants, because he always wants what Father says. And then here is the great and glorious truth. Let's go a step further, shall we? And if you will look with me into the 3rd chapter, this is what you will find about the cross, or as this time it's called, the tree. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a cross or a tree, that the blessing, and so on. So you see, you've got to be crucified, my beloved, if people must are going to receive the blessing. Jesus Christ could not bring the blessing upon us until he was crucified. Oh, he brought millions of blessings to people. Crowds of them. He healed them all. He fed them by the thousands. He called this. He brought millions of blessings to people, but the blessing could not flow from God via Abraham, it was in this case, until he was crucified. Isn't it the tragedy? Again, I move around the country, you say, do you take what this blessing is, justification by faith? I move around the country and I find scores and scores of people. There are those in this room who would testify to this. That, yeah, they were believing all about redemption, believing all about the blood, but they were conscious of their sin all the time. And then they, something happens, and then they get conscious of God. That's normal Christ. That's normal Christianity. Conscious of God, not conscious of my sin. Not conscious of my past. That's gone. 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 Well, Jesus dealt with that before he started dealing with me. That's right.
The sin was all dealt with. He had to deal with me so that I wouldn't keep believing in it and dragging it along after me.
That's right. He dealt with me and changed my attitude toward it. And then I could see then it wasn't there when I looked back. It had gone. This is right. My spiritual connection with my sin of the past was broken. Glory. I've really been crucified, you know. That death, it was a snapping, a breaking, a destroying. I've been crucified so that blessing may flow through me. The blessing may flow through me. This is why I've got to be crucified to the world. I said we'd come back there. I must be crucified under the world. The world is not going to receive the blessing because I see a few sick people healed and miracles performed on people and devils cast out of this, that and the other. They are blessings, but I'm not living for those. I haven't been crucified for those. Listen, not one of those disciples who healed the sick and cleansed the leper and cast out devils had gone through the cross. Am I right or wrong? None of them. That's the tragedy. Too many people are moving in this realm today, but they're not crucified. They have the benefactions and allowings of the crucified one, but they themselves aren't crucified. And I'm not accusing here, I am stating plainest truth. We are to be crucified. Blood poured out on the ground. Cries rending the air. Crucified. Breath. Going up to God, crucified, that's all. That's Jesus. Love pouring out, crucified. Hallelujah. 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 Are you crucified? The blessing, the blessing might come through to me. Under the word. Alright, we'll see it. Chapter 3, verse 1. Foolish Galatians. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? There it is. There it is. When he went to Galatia, Jesus Christ was evidently set forth, crucified, right among them. He was there. That's why he was crucified. Not just so that he could enter into an eternal love union with Jesus Christ. Not just for that. It's very important that it happened. But that this great and wonderful love might pass out through him unto people, and all the glory and virtue of the crucified one be demonstrated. That's what he wrote to the Corinthians. I didn't come to you with wisdom of words. I came to you determined to know only Jesus Christ crucified, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. Christ, the power of God. Christ, the wisdom of God. This great cross, my beloved brothers and sisters, we only know that Jesus Christ is the fire of God and the wisdom of God this morning because he was crucified.
That's all. That's the only way of living. Now, when I say crucified, I don't mean dead. He's very much alive. If you talk about other people crucified, then they're dead. But if you talk about Christ crucified, you're talking about him alive. And that's a very, very wonderful thing. That he's alive, this crucified one. He's living his cross power to you. He's living his crucifixion condition to you. He's living it to you this morning. It's certain power. Let him hold it against the sin of your heart, and it will wither and die. Let him hold it against the uncleanness of your mind, and it'll be purified. Let him hold it against any bondage of the world or the flesh, and it'll go in smoke, if I may put it that way. But say, brother, sister, is this what you want? Do you like your little bit of flesh or lump of it? Do you? Do you love the world in the particular form that you like? Or is it him? This is the thing that I discovered, beloved. No amount of doctrine, no amount of whipping, no amount of laying the rod between your shoulders, no amount of threatening, no amount of shoving and pushing or cajoling will get you anywhere. And God never intended that it should. In the end, he did not raise up a prophet. In the end, he did not raise up a priest. Although Christ is all that, he raised up a cross. That's what he did. Glory. If that doesn't do it, and if love can't do it, nothing else will. You can read all the books under the sun. Go to all the conferences you possibly can. Believe all the doctrines you've been so persistently taught. But that'll not do it. It's falling into love with Jesus that does it. Wesley had it. Glory, glory. He wasn't the only one that had it. But this is the tremendous thing, to know this, that it's love that will do it. To love him. And in the end, beloved, you cannot love him, nor he love you, as both you and he wishes, until you'll let him crucify. Now, not the agony of the crucifixion, not the pain and the suffering, but listen, the power of it. That's right. The power of it applied to you in one flashing moment by the Holy Ghost, brought to your heart by faith as you believe him. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Let a man or a woman in this room this morning disavow the power of sin and the claim of the devil in their lives. Let them stand up and throw everything into the sea and have nothing, nothing at all. And let them believe Jesus Christ will go under. Have nothing and trust him only, and you'll soon see what the Holy Ghost will do in your life. No excuses, no moans and groans and squeals. no adducing evidence out of the past, no producing phony alibis that won't wash when you stand with God, no blaming anybody else, nothing. There's no one to blame now. The world's crucified, and everybody that's in it, they're all dead now. They're not there. It is thou and I, my blessed Christ, that cross and me. There's no one else in the world. Don't come pitying yourself, and don't come groaning and grousing and grumbling. Come, beloved, because you're loved. Come because Jesus wants you, waits to wrap his arms round you, but you're more thorny than his crown and more spiteful than the spikes that went through his hands and through his feet until you let him put his arms round and crucify you. Don't you see that God has devoted you to Jesus Christ by a crucifixion? Amen. And that's the purpose of the Holy Ghost, to crucify you unto God and into him. That's it. It's not by eclectic choice. It's by the power of God in the hands of the Holy Ghost this day. The cross of Jesus Christ is powerful to pull down strongholds and destroy devils and drive out darknesses and liberate all captives and bring you quite from earth to heaven and set you rejoicing as though you'd forgotten everybody else was in the room, because you can see Jesus. You're not conscious of them or of yourself either. I often tell the story of my late colleague. Late that I've left the Longcroft. He's not dead, he's very much alive. John Norris. I remember when John Norris came to the Longcroft. I tell the story of John Norris sometimes. This is one of the occasions it's come to my heart. And I don't know, I was speaking on the glory of God filling the temple or something like that. I do that occasionally as I move around the country. Good job I don't preach to notes, I wouldn't half be repetitive. I repeat the themes, not the sermons. And the great thing was that we were all gathered, if some of you have been to Longcroft, and John sat in the sort of chimney breast there in the nook, right in the centre. And I didn't know him, I'd never seen him until that day. And I preached this day, and I just said one or two things, something about that it can happen to you now. And John sat in a chair. Those of you that know him, and he'd got his leg cocked over and on his other knee, you know, like men sit. Women should never sit like it. And men, and he put his leg like that, and he was just holding his leg like that, and he just sort of looked up to heaven, and he was talking, and I couldn't hear anything, so I went over to him and thought I'd go and help him. When I got there, he was speaking in tongues, and I said, "Can I help your brother?" But he didn't know. He didn't feel me touch him. Oh. Gone!
Christ the Lord.
Gone! I just left him. I turned my back on him. I left him to Jesus. He was gone. You ever been like that? So you do have to get like that. Try and push everybody out of your consciousness. Oh, no. No. You'll very much prove well alive. Have you ever tried to count sheep? Try and get to sleep? You'd be more conscious of flocks of sheep than anything else. If it doesn't mean devils or something. And this is a tremendous thing. Beloved, you're very conscious of yourself. It's the power of God coming on you. It's the glory of the Lord. It's a love match. It's only eyes for Jesus. That's all. If you want eyes, if you want somebody else's eyes to be on you, you're no one near it yet. No one near it. You might as well be in hell. It's so far away. It's just him. Oh, glory. The Holy Ghost comes to make Jesus real. everything else goes away.
You say, that cannot really be. That's just what it's all about. Just what it's all about. That you can be crucified unto him. You can be crucified unto the Lord. And the world crucified to you. Everything else gone. What a wonder this cross is. It puts me in utter safety. It puts me beyond the devil's power and reach. It puts me beyond the lure of the world. It puts me beyond gone. Jesus and me. Is it like that with you this morning? Is it? Let's pray. Let's talk to the Lord about it. You talk to the Lord about it. You don't want to worry about anybody else. Wife or husband or sister or brother or mother or father or friend or enemy. They're not there with Jesus, that's their fault now. You needn't even pray for them. Unless you're so absolutely through yourself that you're in an able position to pray for others. Glory. Crucified. Let Jesus crucify you to all your relatives, will you? Then you'll have some power toward them. You must be crucified for the power of God to reach these people. The blessing that you want for them, you've got to be crucified. The blessing you want for the world, the blessing, beloved, that shall obliterate all the curses. And cursing. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Nothing matters now but a new creature. That's all.